I'm going to categorize tonight's message as practical marriage instruction. And the very first thing I want to talk about tonight is character. And the title of the message you might have seen on Facebook is, So Do You or Don't You? So we're going to talk just a minute about character and we'll get into a couple other things. Character is what defines you. It is what people see in you. It is what people say about you after you pass away. Character is one of the most important things that you have. People see faith in what you do. Now, you can talk about things all day, but really it's what you do that people see it that matters. Your character is also reflected in how you serve your spouse. I'm just going to throw a few little blanket statements out here. Let's look over here just for a second at Colossians. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. How do you do that? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. I love that last little part. Be thankful. Just add that right on the end there. Hallelujah. And then Proverbs 28:6 says, Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. That hits home. A person's character is the sum of their thoughts, their intentions, their desires, and their actions. Remember that character is gauged by general tendencies. Now listen to this. Make note of this. Character is gauged by general tendencies, not on the basis of a few isolated actions. This is important to understand. We've got to look at someone's whole life. For example, King David was a man of good character, although he sinned on occasion. And although King Ahab may have acted nobly once, he was still a man of overall bad character. So we have to look at the entirety of something. Several people in the Bible are described as having noble character. Ruth and Ruth 3:11, David in Psalm 78, 72, and Job in Job 2:3. These individuals' lives were distinguished by persistent moral value. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, we can develop and keep godly character by controlling our thoughts, practicing Christian virtues, guarding our hearts. Your heart has a lot to do with this. And keeping good company. Man, those are powerful things. Men and women of character will set a good example for others to follow, and their godly reputation will be evident to everybody, especially their lifelong companion. You know, nobody's going to know you quite like that spouse of yours. So with that in mind, I want to talk to you a minute tonight about your signature. What in the world are you going, Tony? Just bear with me. You're already familiar with how a signature works and what it's used for. A signature could be legally binding, or maybe it's just an autograph by somebody famous. Either way, it's worth something and it means something. But when an athlete endorses a product, it's like saying that they agree with that product, that they believe in that product, and that they're supposedly even using the product themselves. It represents the entirety of their character, and that's why that place wants to put their name or attach their name or their character with it to sell more product. Because if this guy is famous and cool, and he accomplished all this, and now he's endorsing the product, well, then it must be great, and you need to buy it too. You buy into someone's character. Your reputation is literally on the line, on the signature line. So when the character of someone is found to be flawed, what happens? The companies usually drop those endorsements like a hot rock. They distance themselves from that person because they don't want to be identified with someone of flawed character, somebody whose signature or autograph didn't hold up to what it was supposed to be or what started to be. They no longer want to be associated with a person. And even an e-signature, an electronic signature, is a commitment on your part to fulfill your part of the agreement that it's attached to and to follow through and to watch it come to pass, even your electronic signature. I recently encountered this myself just in doing taxes. I filed my taxes online. I did it all electronically. And when it came time to finish the taxes, I was issued a PIN number, an encrypted PIN number, which became my electronic signature, and I was able to put that number in. But it counted the same as if I had used my ink pen and signed my signature on it. It meant the same thing to the government. It was a commitment on my part to fulfill the truth of what I just represented. It represented my character. I was putting my character and my reputation legally on the line by using that e-signature. In fact, if you fake your signature, you can get in a lot of trouble, a whole lot of trouble. But we sign everything. We sign checks. We sign our taxes. We sign medical forms. Man, we sign medical forms. I've got a bunch of kids, and I'm telling you right now, just a normal trip to the doctor for anything. And you know how it goes. You've got form after endless form, and they want your signature and your consent and your agreement on everything. They want your character to be accurately represented. They want you to be in agreement with it. So it means something. You sign legal agreements and contracts. When you buy a house or a car, they always want your signature at the bottom because that signature, that thing, represents you. It is you. Even eating out, if you use a credit card, you sign that receipt. That gives them the legal right to pursue that money and to get that money from you. You know what I'm saying. So why am I spending so much time on this? Because I want to set you up tonight and show you how you may have lost your signature. Or at least, at the very least, you may have misrepresented yourself with your signature and thereby misrepresented your character. Do I have your attention? Because in some ways, probably everyone in this room, myself included, has done this. You've misrepresented yourself with a signature that you've already used, that you're not fulfilling the obligations attached to it. We have to be careful what we agree to. Pastor alluded to this just the other day in the service. Just think of the things, all the things that you've heard that were not true that you had an opportunity to agree with, things that just come down the pike, things that may have impacted your decisions in life, things like, simple things like, we're running out of trees. You remember Pastor saying this just the other day? We're running out of trees. He remembers that as a boy, having to erase the papers. I did the same thing. I remember that in elementary school, having to erase my pencil marks off that paper and use it until it was worn thin because we were running out of trees. And yet, I grew up in a single-wide trailer in the middle of a pine forest in Florida. And I would go home and say, how are we running out of trees? I'm surrounded by thousands and thousands of big pine trees that are like 100 feet tall. How in the world? And as a little guy, you know, that thing looks 1,000 feet tall. We're not running out of trees. We're running out of water. But you could agree to it, and it could affect your decisions. We have some of our own family that during the Y2K time made life-altering decisions based on the fears of things that were represented or misrepresented at Y2K. And even left their jobs and moved out of state because of it. I'm not saying that was the only reason, but it had an influence. The earth is overpopulated. You know, it's probably not still exactly like this, but I even remember just as recently as a few years ago researching that again because somebody had mentioned to me about how overpopulated the earth is. There's barely enough room for who we have. This had to do with the abortion issue and bringing more children into the world. How can we do? And, you know, at least as recently as a few years ago, you could take the entire population of the earth and give everybody, I think it was a 3.5 square foot plot of land, enough to stand on and not hit the next person next to you. And you could fit every person on the face of the earth inside Orange County, Florida. Just a dot. Earth is not overpopulated. But you could buy into that and agree to it. You have to be careful what you agree to, because it affects you. We're running out of oil. We're running out of gas. I remember the gas lines. I remember waiting in the gas lines with my parents to pay some exorbitant fee for a gallon of gas. Oh, and then Al-Qaeda's coming after you. And ISIS, now they're in the metroplex. They're right here. They're right upon you. You could be next. It could be any time. In fact, they might have your house in the crosshairs now. All these things. Oh, I love this one from a few years back. The bird flu that was going to take over the world. It was a pandemic. It was really, prepare yourself now. Get all the stuff. Really, there's not much you can do anyway. It's a pandemic. It's over. We might have a couple months left. It's the bird. It's taking over the world. Didn't really amount to anything. And then right behind it was a swine flu. And then you just had the regular flu. And then Ebola. Here we are with Ebola. Just think how recently it was that it was almost over. Ebola is here. It's landed in the States. And there was a case. There were a few cases. It was a real thing to those people. But as far as being something that was going to completely take over the world, and I'm not saying that these things aren't real and aren't serious. I'm just saying, but the fear attached with them, you have to be careful what you agree to, what you just sign your name for. You have to be careful with that. Viruses and pandemics and plagues, premature death. You see, fear has torment. The Bible says in Psalm 91:5, this is just a couple verses strung together, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you." But it shall not come near me. "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling." So I don't receive whatever birds flew, whatever the bird has, or the swine has, or the Ebola. I don't receive any of that stuff. In fact, when others fall, I stand. You know, you can make it by the word of God. God is the strength of your life, and we serve the Lord. He's a big, big God. He's a big, big God. Now, everyone is very familiar with the three little words that can make or break your relationship. Everybody knows the three little words, right? Everybody knows the three little words? I love you. Okay? You know the three words, but are you just as familiar with the two little words that will determine the direction and destination of your marriage? Two little words that, when they are left undone, can be your marriage demise. And I'm here to present to you tonight that those two little words are the equivalent to your marriage signature. It is the thing that you sign for. It is the package you sign for, and it represents the entirety of your character on both sides. You want to know what the words are? Oh. Those words are "I do." Two little words, little bitty words that have a great big significance. Have you ever heard the little poem about the horseshoe nail? Some of you probably have, but for those of you who haven't, I'm gonna read it tonight. How a little bitty thing can have a big impact. You know, a horseshoe nail, just a nail that holds the horseshoe on the horse. "For lack of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. For the lack of the shoe, the horse was lost. For the lack of the horse, the rider was lost. For the lack of the rider, the battle was lost. For the lack of the battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the lack of a horseshoe nail. It's just a simple poem that represents how something so small, seemingly insignificant, like just two little words, I do, how something very tiny, seemingly, can represent a huge outcome later if it's not put in check. See, I do is a beginning. It's a start. It's the tip of the iceberg, though. It's not the conclusion. It is, I'm just telling you a few things that it is. It's a covenant agreement. You actually, it's your signature. You're agreeing to a covenant. It's a signature to a contract with God. Amen. It's a covenant. It's a contract. It's an agreement to continue. It's like saying I'm going all in on this deal. I'm representing all of myself in this. I do. It gives up everything of its own for the benefit of the other. I know some of you are looking at me like, I didn't realize it meant that much. It is a great exchange. It is forever. It's forever. It is saying yes to God's plan. It is literally agreement with God by saying it. So you've got to keep saying, I do. And you've got to keep doing, I do. Now, this is about to get very important here. Because I've noticed in talking to lots of people that there has been a problem. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about that. I want you to know it is not I did. It's I do. I did says it's over. I will says it's not here yet. You've got to keep saying I do. You've got to keep doing I do. Little words control great destinies. And what you do about your I do will control the direction and destiny of your marriage. Your I do might need to be found, dusted off, and re-energized. Just a thought. You may have an I do problem. See, some of you're very familiar with ID theft. But you're not as familiar with I do theft. Some of you have had your I do stolen and you don't even know it. You need to get back to your I do. You might have forgotten where you left your I do. Do you know how good it feels when you finally found something that was lost for a while and you really wanted it? You searched for it. We recently had this happen in our life with Miriam's passport. She got a passport when she was a minor, not a coal miner. I mean, she was under 18. She hasn't been a coal miner for years now. She took a trip to Israel with Pastor Nichols and Joy and Janet and went over there when she was, I think, 14 or 15. And she had her passport at the time. And I think that may have been the only time that passport got used. There might have been one other thing, but after she returned, it went missing. And then later on, we got married and life continued and that thing never showed back up again. And it never showed up. Well, we were recently wanting to redo our passport things again. And we hadn't seen that passport in, a couple decades. Was it 20 years? More, 20 years plus, I think. We hadn't seen it. Couldn't find it. And praise God, we just found it the other night, right? We just found it, right? In a plastic tub full of other documents and stuff. It was there the whole time. But we lost it. We just didn't know where it was. But oh man, it felt so good to find that thing. And that's the way it's going to feel for you when you find your I do again. Because I'm telling you right now, most of you in this room lost your I do a long time ago. Now, you don't want to admit it, but it is true. You may not have seen your I do in quite a while. Your spouse is certainly sure that you misplaced it some time ago. And I will say this, your spouse is the only one that can help you find it. For many of you, I'll just say most of you, you haven't used your I do since the wedding ceremony. But I do is a now word. It's a now word. It's an active word. It's a progressive word. It's a continuous and repetitive word. It is a present word. It's present. It's I do, not I did. You have to keep saying I do after you said it the first time, so you get my drift. Now, fasten your seatbelts and follow along now, because I kind of got a wild hair here and I wanted to just see if you can follow along. You parents who are already familiar with some of the wording in Dr. Seuss books, you see, it should be I do, not I did. The only thing that you should have did is I do. When you did your I do, what is it that you did I do to? Did you only did it, or did you do it? When you did your I did you do it to be done? Do you still I do, or did you only did it? The only right way to do it is to keep I doing it. If you only keep didding it, then you will soon be done. Because it can't be that you only did or you're done. The point is, you need to be done with your did and keep doing your do. You see, your did is past, your do is present, and your doing is future. So if you want to go backwards to the past, keep doing your did. But if you want to move on, you must make sure your doing is never done. Some of you think this does sound like Dr. Seuss. But I'm telling you, Paul said almost the same thing when he addressed man's two natures, if you think about it, right here in the book of Romans. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He said almost the same thing regarding the two natures of men. You see, some of you don't even understand what you said, I do too. Others of you may hate the fact that you said, I do back when you did. But now that you've done it, you don't want to undo what you did because that would be the undoing of what you've done. So day after day and year after year, you keep living with what you've done back when you said, I do, but you look at it as what you did, not what you're doing. But if you would just change your I did to an I do, you could undo what you did and start doing what you should do. Easy. Got it? Easy. So, how can you undo what you've done and get on to doing your I do? I know it's not good English, but it's time to find your I do and put it back into service full time. You know, you do have to have a license to I do, but now that you have the license to I do, you should keep I do. So the question is, the title of this message, do you or don't you? So tonight I'm going to ask you to focus on yourself. What? On myself? That would be selfish. No, I'm going to ask you to focus on yourself because therein lies the problem. The problem is you and your I do too. You see, I do starts with I. What I do is more important than what you do. I don't mean from my I'm better than you standpoint. I mean what I do, what I say I do too, and what I do, the I part of it, is more important than what your spouse does. And it's the same in reverse. If you start doing what needs to be done and your spouse does too, that's a win-win. But you might say, if my spouse doesn't start to I do, what do I do? It really doesn't matter. You said I do too. You need to trust God and have faith in God. As soon as you I do, the I don't will stop. So you are either doing or not doing. An I do represents your heart. We say I do But God says, I am. We can get by with doing. He has to keep on amming. We can do the doing that needs to be done because he is still amming what needs to be ammed. You can, I do, because he is the I am. That's the simple way to say it. You can, I do, because he is the I am. So here are some ways that you can continue to say, I do. Here's the how to. Here is how you can do your I do. Keep your love alive. Talk. Touch. If you spend more time talking to and touching your mobile phone than you do your spouse, you might need to revise things. I'll give you all a moment. Just as I am. Everything's touch. You've used the touch so much you're touchy. See, all these mobile plans, they come with unlimited talk and text and touch and all this stuff. If you would have unlimited talk and touch with your spouse, you'd probably have a better plan and it probably wouldn't have to be so mobile. So, you can keep your love alive. Did you just now get that? You know, maybe you just need to touch your spouse more. Interact. Multitask. You can help one another. You can help one another. You know, one way you can help your spouse is to help them with something that means a lot to them, not to you. You can do that. And it's like you're helping bonus points go even further when it's something that means a lot to them and not to you. Because you can help them by doing something you were supposed to do anyway. And that will be limited bonus points. But if you want to go for the 3-time and 4-time extended bonus points, then now we're talking. Do something that means a lot to them. And this isn't just guys doing it for the lady. This works both ways, ladies. You can help your man with something that means a lot to him. You can support one another. Back each other up. Watch your words. You hear me say that a lot. Watch your words. It's not just the negative things that you do or don't say. Sometimes it's something that someone else says that you let slide. Somebody says something about your spouse or you hear something. I'm not saying you just run around and get in a fist fight every time over it. But you know what? You should support your spouse verbally. And if somebody else is not doing that or is doing that improperly, you need to support them and back them up. Say, hang on. That's not the way that is. That is not how it is. She's not like that. He's not like that. He's a good man. She's very good at that. You need to back off of that. You can be there for one another. Sometimes your spouse just needs you to be there for them. Having a hard time. A lot of times, you know, if it's a situation where the guy is maybe the current breadwinner in the family, there's all kinds of situations, but you know, if your husband is in that situation and he's had a rough day, a hard day, something's gone wrong, whatever, be there for him. Support him. Same thing. Wife's been home. Kids have hung on the curtains and pulled the stuff down. And they've got, you know, Play-Doh stuck to the ceiling fan and now it's lopsided. And it's just, you know, you walk in after your day. And, you know, and she doesn't look like the supermodel that you know what I'm saying? You walk in and she's like, welcome home. She might have had a rough day too, so. Bear with her. Support her. Just be there. Talk to one another. We already mentioned that, but it's important. Talk to one another. Be intimate with one another. You need to be intimate with your spouse. You need to not let that just not be part of normal life. That ought to be just everyday normal part of your relationship with your spouse, is to have intimate times. And you need to give each other a break. Give them some space if they need space. Sometimes your spouse just needs a little space, a little room. And if you're just right up in their business all the time about something, that you're just a space invader. That's all you are. You're just a space invader. Amen. Trust your spouse. Do you know God loves your spouse? God has put gifts and talents and abilities in your spouse, and they're called by God to be in the role that they're in too, not just you and your role. Trust the God that's in your spouse. Trust the things that they say. Go with it. You know? You're just not the only one in the family here. Trust your spouse. And here's a big one. Believe the best of your spouse. Sometimes you're quick to believe the best about friends and other family and coworkers and all this stuff, and then not about your spouse. What's that all about? Wait a second. This is your lifelong companion here. Believe the best of your spouse. They've got your back. You're supposed to be trusting them. You're supposed to be cooperating with them. Now, if you have ever thought, man, I wish I could get it right. I wish I could make this right. I wish I could do this I do all over again. You're in the right place tonight because we've got a divine setup for you. Okay, you were given an envelope when you came in. This is the time to open the envelope and pull out the contents. Ladies, the veil has to cover your face. Has to go the other way. There you go. Has to cover your face. All right, everyone, stand up with me if you will. Ladies, veil over your face. Gentlemen, do you have your bow ties on, basically? All right, very good, Vincent. Ready to go? All right.
There you go.
Very nice. Robert, oh my goodness. Y'all are like the model couple here. Wow. The response is, I do, if you didn't get that. Please face your bride and hold hands. Gentlemen, do you take your bride to be your wedded wife, to live together in marriage? Do you promise to love her, comfort her, honor, and keep her for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful only to her for as long as you both shall live? The response is, I do. I do. Ladies, do you take your groom to be your wedded husband, to live together in marriage? Do you promise to love him, comfort him, honor him, and keep him for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health, and forsaking all others, be faithful only to him so long as you both shall live? The response is, I do.
I do.
Well, you have declared your commitment to each other before God and your church friends this evening. So, as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I now pronounce that you continue to be husband and wife. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. You may kiss the bride. All right. Now you've got some I do's to work on. Okay? Just keep in mind, you got your chance to do it again. You know what comes after the I do and the ceremony. Now you have the honeymoon. So I welcome you all to participate in your own honeymoons. Some of you will participate more than others. That's okay. All right, was that fun enough? Okay. All right, I had fun with that. Well, did you get anything out of that word tonight? I hope you did. That was fun. Gentlemen, I encourage you to keep the bow tie. Put it on your bathroom mirror or something. Keep it handy as a reminder that you need to keep I doing your I do. And ladies, keep your veil as a reminder. Keep it. It's just a point of contact that will help you remember that. Amen.